Cindy Allen joins us from Jackson College, sitting in for Dan Phelan today. Dan's, we'll say he's under the weather, I guess. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Obviously, Dan sends his best wishes. He feels really bad that he really wanted to be here this morning, but something else came up that he absolutely had to deal with. So yeah. Sent me instead. You know, doesn't take me long to fill airtime because we have a lot of great things going on at Jackson College.
Send the heavy hitters out here.
I know. Well, as long as we don't go back and do the historical, because that could be like a 2-day long event. But a lot of great things going on at the college
right
now. Yeah,
you used to come out here all the time.
I know. Well, you're so far away. It's so far to so difficult to find you from the college.
Now, come on.
I know. I'm sorry. We're going to make a better effort. I'm sorry.
We're not that far away.
So I know you don't want to talk about you, but I'm going to be in big trouble if I don't talk about you, because commencement was last Saturday at the college.
Fantastic.
Amazing day. Beautiful. The place looked phenomenal. We had it outside so people would be safe. And, you got a Distinguished Service Award, which is the equivalent of an honorary doctorate degree from a university. So
humbling.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
It was lovely.
Humbling.
Long overdue. Obviously, the board members are the ones that chooses this. And your name came to the top, and there was relatively little discussion after that. It's like, absolutely, we need to do this for Greg.
I've always said that's a smart board. No, they are outstanding, and
they are very engaged, and
they've been around a long time. Not often you have board members that hang around as long as this group is hung
agreed,
in there.
Agreed. They're absolutely committed to this community and committed to higher ed, and want to make sure that all the people in this community have an opportunity for a great education and all the great community events we provide out there as well.
So you had the commencement outside. I thought that was really nice.
It was gorgeous. The backdrop, of course, was the Walker Hall, which is a gorgeous building anyway, and it's elevated. And it just, it was very well thought out. Zach McNitt and our crew on the committee did a phenomenal job of all the details and flowers. And students, a number of our students from 2020, May of 2020, Greg, showed up. A few of them texted me that morning going, Cindy, are you going to be there? Watch me graduate. Of course I will. I wouldn't miss it for anything.
There was about, 250 or something like that?
Yeah. Yep, there was. I mean, a number of students are eligible, but of course, at this point in time, several of them are off to other four-year schools, so couldn't make it back. But that's an important day. A lot of first-generation students, and to be able to walk across the stage, which was kind of a sidewalk, but it was a really nice sidewalk, and be recognized. That's the best day of the year out there.
It is. That's exciting.
Well, except opening day of baseball season, right?
Well, that's okay,
kind of
too.
Up there too.
Yeah.
I know. So we're going to talk a little bit about the construction we're doing out on the fields. We're at the point where we're kind of tearing it up so that we can redo the fields and baseball fields and put in bigger dugouts, I would say more adult size. And we got some tall players and big kids. And so, I would kind of say it was probably like, I don't know. I don't know if baseball players were shorter back when they were built or what, but yeah, it's going to be really nice. And that's in process right now. Jim Jones is doing a great job of getting that all ready. And hopefully, I'm not even sure what the year is, if it's next year or beyond, to actually have lights on that field. We were talking a little bit earlier what a fantastic ambiance it is if you can actually sit there at a baseball field for a night game. And I mean, the summers are great here. So it would be really nice. And it would be like a great, you turn the corner off Hague Rogue and boom, there it is, and bigger than life. So
yeah, I was talking to Dan, and he really wants to see the community use the facility. And
absolutely. So
yeah, night games are,
best.
How fun they are.
The best. Absolutely. So that's all
it's
good.
Baseball and softball.
Baseball, softball, and I think they're working on the soccer fields too, relocating. So a lot of good things happening for our students, and our student athletes are a big part of who we are, and they're great kids. Rick Smith does a great job. Gets a lot of scholarships for those students to move on to four-year schools. So very successful young men and women come out of those programs.
Hey, I want to talk about Walker Hall, because when I went to school, most of my classes were at Walker Hall. And that was just a little box.
I mean, it was.
What you guys have done there is just amazing.
Well, we always laugh because we always call it like we took it down to the bones, you know, much like HGTV.
Yeah.
But we do slight bump outs, which usually like double or triples the size of the building. But truly, the bones are still there. But it is an amazing building. It's beautiful. A lot of great classrooms in there. A lot of great office space. And it's all inclusive for a student. You have tutoring there. You have financial aid. Anything that you need to get started at Jackson College, including two phenomenal greeters at the front door. So it might look like a big, scary building, but just walk in the front door. Big smiles, people to help you, walk you through the whole process. I can't tell you how great it is to be back in person to provide those services to students who may not feel comfortable with technology.
That's the key when you go into that sort of setting, that there's going to be somebody there to help you.
There is. I mean, we've talked to students over the years who have said some of them drove to campus four times before they could get out of their car because they were so nervous that it looked so big. But, you know, and our employees did phenomenal during COVID, flipping to online. We still did tutoring and all that stuff online. And actually, we've learned and I think done some things better. But there's no substitution for face-to-face, a smile, a kind face, a quick conversation to try to help students feel more comfortable and feel welcome and to build them up so they realize they actually can do this and they were meant for college.
So what are the protocols right now, Cindy?
Our protocols right now, they're a little bit different if you're vaccinated or not. We're at the point where I think between our faculty, our part-time faculty, and our support staff administrators, we're about 65% vaccination rate on our campus. We just want to make sure that we provide the best work environment and school environment for our students. We're still doing a lot of physical distancing. We still, you know, in my office, I'm in my office. If I'm in there by myself, I have a mask off. Somebody walks in, mask on, you know, down the hall, the dining room, wherever. If you're vaccinated, you can actually eat in the dining room. But if you're not, you can come there and get food and take it outside or wherever you want to go. And for those individuals who have chosen not to vaccinate, we have that health clinic on campus. So they're required to go over to our health clinic once a week and have a rapid test done. Again, just so that, I mean, we know that there's going to be a positive case or two, but just so that we know exactly when it happens. We have contact tracing symbols on all the doors. And so we're just doing everything that we can to keep everybody as safe as possible.
Yeah. Now, some schools are mandating vaccinations, but you're not there.
We did mandate them if you want to live in housing, because obviously lots of close contact there. So we wanted to make sure those students were safe and felt good living in an environment like that. So, but yeah, we still have a checkpoint. He looks like a huge pole barn out in our parking lot of Potter Center. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as an employee, every morning I have to get on my phone and do my health assessment. And then I drive up and do a quick temperature scan to get through and go where I need to go. And I identify what building I'm reporting to. So it's just our new norm. And I think it's going to be that way. I don't know if it's another year or 2 years. Or I know everyone's tired of it. I don't think there's anyone more tired of it than I am at this point in time. But still, understand the importance of keeping everybody safe. And that's what it's all about, to be able to stay open, have kids in housing, have in-person classes. This is what we need to do.
Okay, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and you have a fire at the Potter Center.
Yeah, I think that was the last time I tried to take a four-day weekend, so I haven't done that since. So, yeah, it was a long weekend that weekend, but, yeah, there was a pretty significant fire up on the fourth floor of Potter Center, flames shooting out, amazing response by firefighters. I think there was five or six different townships that responded to that.
Mm-hmm.
It stunk up the building pretty good. It really did. Fortunately, though, as far as the music hall goes, there's three transformers that run that whole big building. The smallest one is the one over in the music hall, which is still pretty significant because it runs all the lighting and everything over there. That's the only one that didn't get fried. I mean, like fried, melted, charred. It was awful to look at. So we're still going through the whole phase of working with adjusters and insurance companies. But as you can imagine, when you're dealing with equipment in the theaters, and let's be honest, some of the equipment over in Bauman Theater is 40 years old, 42 years old. So trying to see what works, what can be replaced. Obviously, like with everything else, parts are difficult to come by if they're even available.
Chip shortage.
Yeah. Just trying to figure out what we do with this equipment. Would it work again? Can we retrofit something? Is it time to go to LED and something more energy efficient? So a big job. And Daryl Norris, you know him, our CFO, he's been working really hard to work with the adjusters and the insurance company and try to find resolution as soon as we can. But from the music hall side, it was the perfect timing to go ahead and do the major renovation inside. You know, you've been out there to see the lobby and so forth. Thanks to the great work of Jason Valenti, we have some donors that come forward with money. I'm sorry to say we no longer will have a purple theater because we were pretty well known for that. You sitting here with your purple shirt on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but we have new carpet in, we have all new drapes, we've painted in there, and seats are installed. Some are installed, they're not all done yet. But, you know, when we had to shut down before, we had to move some shows and then move some shows again. So we do have a few shows set up for this fall. We really want to have a big grand reopening with a big name, but things are still a little scary, and we're still kind of distancing people in the theater, again, to keep people safe and wear masks. But we're going to be ready to open on October 2nd, so hope you come out for the celebration.
Was it determined that was an electrical fire?
You know, you never quite get the entire story.
Okay.
If it was, because there really wasn't a storm close by at that point in time. So whether it was electrical, something with the phasing, I don't know. But whatever happened, it blew through our two biggest transformers. And if you went and opened and looked at the box, I mean, it was just charred and melted.
Wow.
It was significant. So honestly, we're probably very, very lucky that it wasn't worse. Nobody was in there. No
injured.
One got hurt.
Yeah.
It was, and, you know, I can't say enough about Hathaway. We brought them in. Man, these guys know what they're doing to open things up, extract water, because obviously some of it's from the fire suppression, right?
Yeah, so, sure.
A little bit of damage, but worked through it and made sure that we had everything open and ready and clean and safe and just trying to figure out how to do business. So
you've worked with a lot of these performers over the years, and they're all trying to work through this COVID also, aren't they?
They are. They're very anxious to get on the road and get back out and about. So we're thrilled with that. But we're also having the conversations. What are your, COVID protocols? Yep. We want your crew to wear a mask. Nope. There won't be any meet and greet backstage. Sandra Phelan is doing a great job of, okay, are we going to do programs or do we just put programs on tables and people can take them? So again, working through it all, we have a great reintegration task force that's been working for the last 19 months. I've had the honor to chair it, but these individuals have reviewed every protocol from everything from coming back to a classroom to a lab in the nursing department. Everything is just so different over in the science labs to hosting events on our campus in a very safe fashion. So a lot of hard work has gone into that, but so far it's really paid off.
How's enrollment?
Enrollment is good. It's actually ahead of last year, obviously still not up to pre-COVID, but we're working it really hard. Fortunately, we were able to get back into the prisons that just basically shut down during COVID. So that's working really well. We have a number of dual enrolled students. It's a work in progress. We actually have our 12-week classes begin on September 27th. So it's not like the older days where you either started in the fall, the winter, or the summer. It's like we have classes that are 7-week, 10-week, 12-week, 15-week. So anytime that you're thinking, you know, this might be a time, maybe I'll just try a class or two, come on out to the college and our navigators will meet with you, walk you through the process and get you started on a road to a great certificate or associates.
They put a game plan together for you,
They absolutely do. They can plan the whole thing out for you so you can see, and you can see incrementally. Jeremy Frew and his crew did a really good job of doing a lot of laddering with our classes. So as you go, you have those little wins. You can get certificates in particular areas. So, you know, you start building momentum, and then it's like, all right, now I want to get my associates on top of it. And as you probably noticed during graduations, a lot of students graduated with an associates, like in business, and then had two or three certificates in other areas. So it's setting them up for success. They're going to do really well when they get out there and start looking for a job.
And you had a handful of bachelors.
We do. Wasn't that cool?
That
there's three students.
That was neat.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We do have bachelors. And so, it was a good day. I'm so glad you were there. And I'm so glad that you were honored. Long overdue. But it was nice to see your family there supporting you as well. So it was a good day. Good, great weekend.
Well, thanks for pinch hitting for Dan today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We're going to do this every month, and this will be on a podcast on WKHM and all of those various podcast outlets. What
well,
are
you're,
they?
You're international. You're international, so it's all over, Greg. I mean, everybody seeks out your podcast. It's just the wise words that come out of your mouth. Yeah. And now that you're the Distinguished Service Award winner, expecting even more.
You're killing me, Cindy.
Okay. I'll
Thank
stop.
You.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Well,